Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
On this Palm Sunday, that's the title that I've given to this message today that I'm calling Behold Your King. Behold Your King. And that video there, Palm Sunday, depicts that so well. Jesus, our King. Now, I want you to stay with me here for a minute because there's been a lot of people throughout history who have been called king or referred to as king. Throughout the history of nations, there's been royal families that have had kings. Even right here, throughout our own history of our own nation, people have been referred to as king. Many of you know the great Elvis Presley was referred to as the king of rock and roll. You may debate this one right here, but they say George Strait was known the king of country. James Cleveland, known as the king of gospel music. Richard Petty, the king of NASCAR. And Johnny Carson, known as the king of late night TV. There's been a lot of people that have been referred to as king. They've been called king throughout our history. But these people, they come and they go, but there's only one true king, and his rule and reign will be forever and ever, and that is King Jesus. Hallelujah. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the Gospel of John, John chapter 12, verses 13 through 15. The Apostle John has given us this snapshot of the triumphant entry on that Sunday before Easter that we know as Palm Sunday. And here in the scriptures it reads in verse 12, it says, "The next day a great multitude that had come to the feast," talking about the Passover feast, "when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, and cried out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.'" Picture that in your mind. Crowds of people, a great crowd, as they waved those palm branches there, declaring to Jesus, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, he sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." That's referring to prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. The Apostle John here, he tells us that on this Sunday before the first Easter, that Palm Sunday, that a great crowd of people had gathered because of the Passover celebration. People had traveled from all different places to come to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. And it was a great crowd. And this great crowd, they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And the crowd went out to meet Jesus. And they took these palm tree branches, a symbol of victory, and placed them on the pathway that Jesus would enter into Jerusalem. And they cried out, they shouted to the Lord, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Now, what's interesting here, and I'm sure you'll think it's interesting too, that over three years, while Jesus traveled in different regions there and ministered to people, he performed miracles. You remember the times he would never allow the people to call him king. But now, just a few days away from when he would be crucified on the cross and raised from the dead, now Jesus allows the crowds to declare him, to praise him as king. That's interesting to me, and how John gives us this snapshot of Jesus and this triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But friend, listen to me. That triumphant entry into Jerusalem, the excitement, the energy that was there as they shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel," that would soon all change. As King Jesus would that same week, going into that week there, we know as Holy Week or Passion Week, Jesus would be betrayed. He would be arrested. He would stand trial. He would be brutally beaten. And eventually he would be crucified on a Roman cross. And on the very day that Jesus would be crucified to death, he found himself standing in Pilate's court. Governor Pilate. Pilate was the governor during that time. And while Jesus was standing in Pilate's court, Pilate had these questions that he had for Jesus. And one of the questions we find he asked Jesus is in John 18:37. And he says to Jesus, he asked the question, "Are you a king then? Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king." You say rightly that I am a king. Jesus did not say, "I will be a king." Jesus said, "I am a king." He says, "You say rightly, I am a king." You know why? Because Jesus was born a king. He was born a king. In that same conversation with Pilate, Jesus is responding to Pilate, and he says to him, he says, "You're right in saying I'm a king. In fact," in verse 37 it says, "For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth, and everyone on the side of truth listens to me." You remember what Pilate responded? He's like, "What is truth?" Pilate was perplexed. He was puzzled, especially when Jesus said, "For this reason I was born. For this reason I was born." Speaking of his humanity, speaking as the Son of Man. And for this reason, he says, "I came into this world," speaking of his deity, being the very Son of God. Jesus, listen to me, church, Jesus was born a king. And he communicated that to Pilate. He says, "For this reason I was born a king, and I came into this world." He's speaking of his humanity. He's speaking of his deity. You remember in Matthew chapter 2, referring to Jesus being born as a king, the wise men, the magi, they traveled a long distance. Remember, we see it in the Christmas story. They were following the star, and they were looking for Jesus so they could present gifts to him. And along the way, they stopped in Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" Amen. Jesus was born a king. Jesus was born King of Glory. Psalm 24:10 says, "Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory." He was born King of Glory. He was born King of Israel. John 1:4-9, when Nathanael said to Jesus, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Born King of Kings. Revelation 17:14. He was born King of the Saints. Revelation 15:13. Some translations say that he was born King of the Nations. Jesus was born a king. And Jesus also served as king. Jesus left his heavenly home. He left his heavenly throne. And he came to this world to become a servant. You remember what the gospel in Matthew says? It says, Jesus says, "I've come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." Listen to me, church. Jesus was still king while serving others. Jesus used his kingdom authority to serve others and bless others. You remember when Jesus said, he says, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." Listen, even while Jesus walked around serving other people, he was still king. And he throughout his ministry, he made it very clear that he was king, and he used his authority to rule and to reign. Throughout his ministry, he made it clear that he was king as he uses authority over the wind and the waves when he could speak to a storm and say, "Peace, be still." He was king and had authority over the waves as he could walk on water. Hallelujah. Jesus used his kingdom authority to rule over the devil and the demons as they tremble at his name. Jesus used his kingdom authority to rule over disease and disabilities and even death. I can think about even there where Jesus was at, the woman who was healed with the blood disease, the man that was born blind who was healed, and he says, "I don't know why you keep talking to me. All I can tell you is once I was blind, but now I can see." Hallelujah. Jesus has kingdom authority over every disease, disability, and even death. He raised Lazarus out of the grave. Hallelujah. Jesus made it clear that while he served, he was still king. And his kingdom is one of power and authority. All power and authority. Jesus served as king. Let me tell you this. Jesus died as king. He died as king. Think about this. Jesus was king even while he was nailed to the cross. He was born a king. He served as a king, and he died as a king, and even from the cross, nailed to the cross, he was king. For 6 hours, Jesus ruled and reigned from the cross to fulfill God's plan of redemption and restoration. Do you remember? You find this in John 19:19, that while Jesus was nailed to the cross, Pilate placed a sign over the cross that Jesus was nailed to, and that sign read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." He was still king, even from the cross. Jesus died as king. Think about this. King Jesus had his garment, his robe, if you will, taken from him by gambling Roman soldiers, and his crown was a crown of thorns, and instead of people shouting Hosanna, the people were spitting on him and mocking him. Instead of people shouting Save our King, the Romans mocked Jesus by shouting All hail the King of the Jews while he hung on the cross. They insulted him. They ridiculed him. They punched him in the face. They beat him brutally. They hung him on the cross. He was nailed to the cross. They gambled for his clothes. They mocked him and made fun of him. But even yet, while he was still on the cross, he was king. He was king. And through it all, Jesus was king from the cross. And because here's what happened. From the cross, Jesus ruled and reigned with prayer. As he ruled and reigned with prayer, and he prayed for the people that were below him carrying out this work. And Jesus ruled and reigned from the cross as he gave forgiveness when those Jewish leaders and Roman soldiers were around. And Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus reigned as king from the cross as he saved a repentant criminal and brought him into his kingdom. When Jesus looked at those two thieves and looked at the one that repented, and he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He was still king from the cross. He reigned as king from the cross as he defeated the devil and all the forces of hell. Jesus reigned as king from the cross as he atoned for the sins of the world. When John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus reigned as king from the cross as he finished the work that was given to him by his Father, that from the cross Jesus would say, "It is finished." And with that, the Bible says, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for reigning as king even from the cross. And Jesus reigns as king today. After Jesus died and was buried, he was then resurrected. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, King Jesus is alive today. Hallelujah. We have his presence is with us today. He is here. He's alive. He's working. He's moving. We don't serve a dead Savior. Our Savior is alive. We praise the Lord today. We're going to celebrate that Sunday, but we ought to celebrate it every day. Jesus is alive, ruling and reigning today after his resurrection. Jesus, eventually he ascended back to heaven where the Bible says he's enthroned as our priest king. Now follow with me here. It says that he's back in heaven now and he's enthroned as our priest king according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was this Old Testament king priest and kind of a mystical figure, if you will, at some time, and a picture really of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Hebrews 6, 19, 20 says it like this. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now say that fast 10 times. The name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. He was a priest and he was a king. He was a priest and a king. And nowhere in the Bible do we find this role of priest and king united together except in Jesus Christ. Jesus reigns today as king. And he reigns from a throne of grace. And we have access to this priest king. Praise the Lord that we have access today. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Listen to me, church. Be encouraged today. Be encouraged today that Jesus, our priest king, he reigns today. He feels our pains. He knows our needs. He knows our struggles. He knows our battles. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the temptations that we go through. And as our priest king, he is able to help us today. He's able to help you today. Jesus Christ, he's able to help you. He is the priest king today. He reigns today. He can help you today. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. He's the same God. Same God then is the same God now. The same king then is the same king now. Listen, hallelujah. Yeah. He was healer then, he's healer today. He was helper then, he's helper today. He was protector then, he's protector today. He was provider then, he's provider today. Whatever you need, God is able to meet it because he's our priest king. He's enthroned at the throne of grace and there's mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. How many of you have some needs in your life and you could use a little bit of grace and mercy? God can give it to you. Jesus reigns as king today. Born king, served as king, died as king. He reigns as king today. He's alive. And this king that we honor and celebrate and praise and worship, Jesus will return as king. He will return as king. Now, I want you to follow along. Now, you got some work to do this week. Go back and just follow along in the Gospel of John around, maybe pick up John chapter 12 and just finish it on out this week as we go into this Holy Week, this Passion Week. You know that Jesus, that last week there, he's having conversations with his followers. He's preparing them for what's about to happen. He's been sharing a few things here and there to kind of let them know. And then in John chapter 14, he told his followers, he says, listen, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come back again to take you to be where I am. Jesus will return as king. He says, I will come again. And when King Jesus returns, the Bible says in Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, I'm not going to read the entire verse, but it says that on that day, that when he comes back, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen, everyone will bow and acknowledge Jesus as King of Kings. Everyone. When I say everyone, I mean everyone. All the leaders in this world will bow. You name them off. All the leaders in this world are going to bow. The governments will bow. Listen, Antichrist people that are out there, whether they serve in the government or wherever they are, they're going to bow down to Jesus. Hollywood will bow. Every atheist will bow. Every agnostic will bow. Every corrupt professor in our universities that are anti-Christ, they will bow. Everyone will bow. Every one of us will bow. Let me show you what it looks like. We're going to bow before the Lord, and we're going to declare that He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're going to declare He is the King of Kings. You're going to bow. Everyone will bow on their knees. Everyone. Hallelujah. And if we're going to bow then, why don't we go ahead and bow now? Church, there will be a day when Jesus returns. And just like it says in Revelation 19:16, it says that on His robe and on His thigh, He has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the whole world, I don't care where they are, they will bow and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Do it, Lord. And may we all be ready. May we all be ready when King Jesus returns to rule and reign. Those who have repented, I got some good news for you. If you're here this morning and you have repented of your sins and you've trusted in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and you have made Him the Lord of your life, the Bible says that we will reign with Him forever and ever and ever. That's good news for us. But let me give you some news that should shock some of you that are not following Christ. Because those who have rejected King Jesus, the Bible says, will be cast into an outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where there's a fire that will never be quenched. It's a place called hell. God help us to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Behold, your King comes to you. Behold, your King. Is Jesus your King? Is He your King? Is Jesus King over your life? Okay, He's King on Sunday, but what about the rest of my life? It doesn't work like that. Have you crowned Jesus to be King over your heart, over your home, over your marriage, over your children, over your business, over your relationships, over everything in your life? Because if Jesus is truly King, that means you have fully submitted and surrendered to Him and His will for your life. And let me just tell you this, Jesus is the only King that conquers not by force, but He conquers with love. He's not going to force Himself on you. He's not going to force His will on you. He comes by invitation. He says, come to me. Come and follow me. And I wonder if you have accepted the invitation to follow Jesus Christ. He stands today at your heart. He knocks on the door. He's speaking to you now by the Holy Spirit, wanting you to make a decision to invite Him in to be King over your life. Friend, listen to me today, please. I plead with you. If you don't know Christ, you need to make that decision today to ask for forgiveness, repent of your sin, and receive Him now by faith to be your Savior, to be your Lord. He can do it. You know what's sad to me? That even in that same place there, when we get the snapshot from John about that triumphant entry, even in going to that Holy Week, that some in the crowd had gathered in that day to receive Jesus as King. And some rejected Jesus as King. Some received Jesus as King, and some rejected Jesus as King. And I hope and pray this morning that Jesus is your King. Well, how do I make Him my King? Well, let's don't make it very complicated. It just comes down to you need to, first of all, acknowledge and admit that you're a sinner. We're all a sinner. And listen, sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death. And that's the death that's going to be in an everlasting hell. But Jesus is the only one that can save you. He's the one that died on the cross for you. He's the one that shed his blood for you. He went through the shame, the mockery. Everything that he went through was all for you and for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He did it for you. He did it for me. Some received Jesus and some rejected Jesus. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe. And then just confess to him and commit your life to him. Jesus, I admit to you I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. And today, by faith, I receive you into my life to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now. I repent. And I want you to give me new life, a new birth. I want to be born again spiritually. You can do that today. Pastor Kevin, if you guys would just come and we'll get ready to pray. If you're here this morning and you're just not sure that you're saved, you're not sure that heaven is in your future, and if you're not sure, then chances are, then you're not. And God has sent you here today so you could hear this gospel message of a king that was born, King Jesus, born a king, served as king, died king, reigns alive today as king, and one day he's coming back king. And I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready. If you're here this morning and you just want me to pray for you because you're just not sure, but today God has been speaking to you and you want to make that decision. You want to accept the invitation that Christ is extending to you today. He's speaking to you. Sir, ma'am, he's speaking to you. And I want to pray with you right now. Nobody looking around. If you'll just bow your heads and everyone close your eyes. And I just want to look around as you obey the Lord so I'll know how to pray. But if you're here this morning and you want to make that decision for the very first time to receive Christ, to be your Lord and to be your Savior, so you can rule and reign with him forever and ever in a place called heaven, I want you to do me a favor and be brave enough and bold enough right now, because you realize this is about your soul and your eternity, and you want me to pray for you because you want to receive Christ, accept Christ. I want you to lift your hand real high where I can see it now. Please, would you obey the Lord? Would you obey the Lord? God bless you, sir. Is there anybody else? Would you pray for me, Pastor? I just want to make sure. I just want to be sure. Listen to me while you have your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm just telling you right now, hear me. One day, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. You will bow. You will confess Jesus is Lord. Why not do it now? So you're ready. Because when he comes back, it's going to be too late. You need to get right with Jesus. You need to be saved. I want to just pray for you. Just raise your hand, lift your hand if that's you. Just say, pray for me, please. God bless you. Father, I thank you for the ones that have raised their hands and the ones that maybe didn't raise their hands, but God, maybe they're praying right there where they are. God, please speak to them. Remind them that you are King and you are Lord. And I pray that right there in that place where they're at, that chair, God, that would just be a holy moment where they would just bow before you and they would receive you as Lord and Savior over their life, commit themselves to you, maybe even rededicate their life back to you. Maybe they've drifted away, but today you've drawn them back to you, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, for their souls to be saved. I pray, God, they would ask for forgiveness, they would repent, and they would put their faith in you and what you did on the cross and through your resurrection. We preach Christ crucified and resurrected. And I pray that today, God, they would just bow before you and confess with their mouth, Jesus is Lord of my life. And I receive him now in the name of Christ.